Heavenly Father, thank you for another great opportunity to sit under your word and be ministered to as the Holy Spirit guides us and encourages us in these things that we should enjoy as believers. We're reaching out by faith, Heavenly Father, to understand your plan for our lives. So, thank you for your word that we receive by faith in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 4 points, 4 PowerPoints every Christian should enjoy. 4 PowerPoints every Christian should enjoy. We're specifically looking at 4. We have just finished number 1 being salvation. And we are going to our number 2 PowerPoint, and that being deliverance. Deliverance. What does faith in Jesus as Savior make available for every believer? Salvation, deliverance, healing, and well-being are 4 PowerPoints that we are looking into. Tonight we're looking at deliverance. We're looking at deliverance. I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're looking at deliverance. Has anybody enjoyed any kind of deliverance? Any kind of deliverance? Yes. Are you realizing that you still need deliverance? Are you realizing that? If you're not realizing that, then you are missing out on some good things that God has in store for you. Deliverance. Let us look at verse 18, and this is the Lord Himself speaking, and I'll read it first of all from the King James Version. The Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And then, I don't know why they really made verse 19 a verse, as it were, because it is a continuation of that very statement that he made, which he went on to say, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Now, this, of course, when the Bible was written, it was written in continuous script. It wasn't in verses and chapters as we read it today. That's why I said what I said about verse 9. Now, let's read that from the Amplified as we look into it tonight. Jesus said these words. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So the first thing we recognize is that in order for Jesus to do what he did, he had to be anointed. He had to be anointed. He couldn't come into the earth realm, accomplish the things that God intended for him to accomplish for our benefit without being anointed, or I could say it this way, without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Everything that God does, he does with decency, and he does it in a particular order. I said he does it with decency, and he does it in a particular order. Now, as members of the body of Christ, we fail in this a lot. We need to get this, that what God does, he does with decency, and he does it in order. Everything that God wants to do in your life, he wants to do it in a decent manner and do it with some kind of order. That means he's going to give us instructions to follow in whatever he wants to do in our lives, whatever he wants to accomplish in our lives. He has a prescribed way about going about that. Now, we get in trouble when we refuse to follow his way of doing and being right. Remember, he said in Matthew 6:33, we've said it thousands of times, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," his way of doing and being right. He has a prescribed order for you to follow. We're not supposed to be groping in the dark, trying to make things happen and begging for God's mercy and his blessing. He has a prescribed order for us to follow in order for us to gain victory or deliverance in whatever area of life we are dealing with. And he went on to say, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah. So Jesus was anointed and called the anointed one, or the one that is anointed. Now, there were different anointings that happened throughout the Bible. I mean, you have to admit that Elijah was anointed, Elisha was anointed, Daniel was anointed, Jeremiah was anointed. Amen. Noah was anointed. You have to be anointed to build a boat for 125 years. Dear God, that takes some anointing right there. Amen. So all of these anointings were present and in the earth. But when Jesus came to fulfill the mission that God had put him on as the Messiah, he had to be anointed with a greater anointing. An anointing that would cause him to be labeled as the Anointed One. The Anointed One. He was the only one that could bear that kind of anointing, because he had to accomplish something that no other prophet, no other spokesman for God was capable of doing. So he was to take that title as the Anointed One, and then joining with that, the Messiah, the one who was to come. The one who was to come to save us, the Jews would say. And he went on to give explanation to that. He said, I'm anointed for this purpose, to preach the good news or the gospel to the poor. Now, you're poor if you don't know the Lord.
Amen.
You're poor if you don't know him. You're poor if you haven't had the gospel preached to you. You know, you're not to remain in a state of poverty or impoverished place where you are without the blessing of God. That's being poor. But when you hear the gospel and by faith receive it, then you're brought into great wealth. If you accept that and you become a born again Christian, you're brought into great wealth, the wealth of the relationship that we have with God through Christ Jesus. That's great. And that's a wealthy place. Why? Because everything that God has is made available to you. Right? And in order for us to enjoy that, we have to be delivered. We have to be delivered. You wouldn't think of it this way, but every one of you would raise your hand and say, there's yet things that I need from God. Every one of you. And every one of you would be telling the truth. There are yet things that I need from God. There's places in God I need to go. But we don't think of it in this manner, that you and I need to be delivered from something in order to get there. There's a deliverance that needs to come to us in order for us to get there. Now, a lot of times, believers don't think that way. As a matter of fact, believers don't like to think of themselves lacking and wanting in things. That's why the gospel of self-esteem is so popular. But according to the writer of the Proverbs, the preacher, you know, it's a good thing for you to experience the solemn assembly. In a solemn manner, look at your life and recognize how wanting you can be and how much you need the Father, how much you need the Lord. If you're not willing to recognize that and come to terms with that, there's a deliverance that needs to take place in your life. Amen? He said he is the Anointed One, the Messiah. He's come to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. Can you be poor and still be a Christian? Can you experience poverty spiritually even as a Christian? Yes, you can. Now, I'm telling you, the thing that brings us to that place of great wealth and the place where we can enjoy the great things that God has is going to be a deliverance. It's going to be a deliverance. Now, I think that deliverance can be forthcoming and can get accomplished in our lives if we go about seeking God for it personally. If we will seek the Lord ourselves, recognizing our need for God, I believe it can come forth forthrightly and without a whole lot of trouble, as it were, when a preacher's got to preach you to the altar, preach you to repentance, preach you to fast, teach you, preach you, evangelize you to do everything that you should have the power in yourself to do. You hearing what I'm saying? You see, many in the body of Christ have got to be encouraged and compelled to do anything when it comes to this kind of deliverance. When you have the power within yourself to seek God and walk right into the blessing that God has for you. Amen. Now, why we don't do that, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you recognize that it's a wealthy place. No, it doesn't. To preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has, Jesus said, he has sent me to announce release to the captives. He has sent me to announce release to the captives. Now, that's an interesting thought, because when I was held captive by sin, I didn't want that announcement. How about you? I did not welcome the announcement that said that Jesus had come to bring me release. I didn't want to be released. So if I didn't want to be released then, is it possible that now that I'm born again and I've enjoyed release up to a certain point, to a degree, is it possible that I yet am refusing the announcements that come from the Lord that would bring me to further release? Yes, I think that's very possible. That's what the gospel does. As a matter of fact, when we really preach the gospel of the kingdom, what we do is set forth things that are before us that we are to take notice of, so that we will go further than what we have formerly gone. That's why you got to keep the gospel of the kingdom out in front of God's people. Because we get settled on our lees and we just begin to be established in what we have, and no desire then to go any further, to reach out any further. We almost, in a sense, lose our fire and our zeal to know God. And how else can we know him but in the things that he's made available through Christ Jesus? What else do you need to know about him? What other knowledge do you need of him other than what Jesus Christ has made available for every one of us? What else do you need to know? Hallelujah. You see? And yet we are saying, God, I want to know you. Yes? We're saying, I want to know you, Lord. I want to get closer to you. And then when he begins to announce these certain things from the gospel, we begin to shrink back and say, well, that's too hard. I can't go there. You know, in other words, we are misinterpreting our answers. We're getting answers to prayer. Amen. And yet we're misinterpreting them. Praise the Lord. Now, the only way you can get the answers that you want to get all the time is to create your own God. That's the only way you can get the answers that you want, the way you want, all the time. Amen. Now, that's what the Israelites set out to do, and they created their own gods. And, you know, it's really interesting. It's really interesting that the Israelites really didn't create their own gods. They just took up the gods of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Hivites. You know, they weren't even creative at all. Now, you're smarter than that. You live in another generation. You're creating your own God. Bring it on. Right. You're coming up with a God in your own estimation that will give you things the way you want it. All right. And satisfy your need the way you want him to. And it's all right all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you have to preach like this when you talk about deliverance, don't you? Amen. You have to spell it out. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Now, that's an interesting statement. Read it like it's being said. I want the blind to recover their sight. So the blind at some point could see. We're not talking about blind from birth. This blind that he's talking about here once could see. So the message of the gospel of the kingdom is to help you and I to recover something. Sight having to do with your comprehension, your understanding in the things of God. Actually knowing the will of God for your life and for my life. God wants us to recover that. Well, if that has to be recovered, and we've come to the point that we've actually become blind to these wonderful gifts that God has for us, that means that our enemy has been at work. Those things have been stolen from you and I. See? No wonder Jude said, brethren, I wish that you would contend for the gospel or for the faith, he said, of our forefathers. Contend for it. See, what God does is through the gospel of the kingdom, give you information that helps you to have what you need to go to war to get what belongs to you. He opens our understanding so we can see, wait a minute. I'm not enjoying all that God has provided. And you want to know why? Why have I not got this? Why isn't this mine? Wait a minute. I'm a Christian. The Lord said it, he is not withholding any good thing from them that love him. He said, behold, I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Wait a minute. I'm missing something here. Right? See, you begin to get a holy indignation in yourself because you know God cannot lie. Why are we being satisfied in the places that we're in when God cannot lie? That is delusion. That is strong delusion. Being satisfied in a place where you're not enjoying the blessing of God is delusion. You're hearing these scriptures and you hear them and you speak them yourselves. You read them. Sweetheart, if you don't believe, I'm telling you, Christians may as well have a big black magic marker and blotting scriptures out all through the Bible because they're not standing on them. Amen. Don't tell me you believe what the word says if you're not standing on it and demanding that it be realized in your life. I said, demand that it be realized in your life. The Lord said, concerning the things of God, concerning the things of the kingdom, command ye me. Amen. You take authority and you begin to demand that you be a person of wealth and prosperity. You demand that your body walk in health. You make a demand on the things of God. You lying devil, I am not sick. I am whole in the name of Jesus. I will not live in poverty. It had nothing to do with what the economy is doing. It has nothing to do with NASDAQ. No. Nothing whatsoever. Don't let the devil get on you and in your emotions about what's happening with your 401k. Don't allow that. That has nothing to do with your wealth. God blesses you supernaturally. Hallelujah. Anytime the devil begins to work on you like that, you ought to just dream up another reason to give. I mean, God ain't even asking me to do it, but I'm coming up with this thing. I know that a seed is the answer to this particular need in my life. But sometimes your giving can make the devil panic.
That's right. Amen.
It's scary. Because you're so hilarious in the fact that God, through Jesus Christ, is ministering to you seed to sow. It will make him panic because, see, the devil understands the supernatural power on harvest and he knows he can't stop it. He cannot. He's not the one that can. He can't go in the soil and make it be thwarted in some manner that it won't produce a harvest. He just cannot do it. Nobody talks about that. We always talk about the fact that, you know, that it's God that makes it grow. But the devil cannot go into the earth and do something to keep your seed from coming to harvest. He couldn't do it with Isaiah. He couldn't do it with Jeremiah. They sold themselves to obedience in God, and they had a harvest of the word of God to come out of them that changed nations. Changed nations. Devil couldn't stop it. Why? Because God said that his word would not return to him void. In other words, his word would not be inoperative. It wouldn't fail, but it will accomplish the thing whereunto he sent it. Glory be to God. My, my, my. I just love preaching on seed time and harvest. It just gets in everything that I bring up. I just can't help myself because it works. It works, you see. See, and in deliverance, you've got to sow yourself to what is needful for you in order to get a harvest and deliverance in your life. Amen. See, remember, God does everything with decency, and he does it in a particular order. So God speaking to you gives you instruction, and you follow that instruction. And you are sowing yourself in obedience to God as you follow his instruction. Don't be perplexed by these different things that go on in life. You should be saying, God, what would you have me to do? You don't get perplexed and confused about, I don't care what it is. No matter what comes up in your life, you shouldn't get perplexed. You should be saying, here I am, Lord, like Samuel. You should be saying, here I am, Lord. Here is your servant. What would you have me to do? And God will show you the answer to the perplexity. And you won't even have to ever sense a burden about it. Never. You don't have to sense any kind of heavy yoke on your life at all. I said, I'm talking to delivered people. You're not supposed to be under a heavy burden and a yoke of oppression. Because you've got the answer. That's why we should never say, I don't know what to do. The only reason you can say that I don't know what to do is because you're not saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? We're afraid to say that. We don't want the responsibility of knowing what to do. And that's not seeking first the kingdom. And that will keep you in a place where you will continually need to be delivered. Because the devil takes advantage of blindness. Amen. He takes advantage of a lack of knowledge in the life of the believer, because all he's out to do is to bring something about that will cause you to perish in that area. Amen. Say it with me. I have ceased from perishing. Hallelujah. I have ceased from perishing. He said to preach, to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. So you ought to be interested. I need to be interested in what the gospel has to say about whatever it is that's going on in my life. How is it that today in society that spouses are so willing and so ready to give up on one another when there's so much to gain by having your sight recover? See? It's a lie when you think that you can find someone better. That's a lie. That's a lie, son. Daughter, that's a lie. There isn't anybody better. Well, we didn't know the Lord when we got married, but God knew you. God knew you. And there ain't hardly anybody married today without making a vow. And the Bible says that God honors vows. And he holds even the unbeliever accountable on the vows that they make. So God was present at your wedding. How much more so for the believer? There is no legal right for a believer to be seeking separation from a Christian spouse. Now, Paul made an allowance, you know, the Pauline privilege. He made an allowance, but he made it. As far as God is concerned, he put something in you called forgiveness that should be operating in your life toward your spouse no matter what they've done. I said no matter what they've done. I said no matter what they've done. Because God forgave you no matter what you did. I said no matter what you did, God forgave you. And I don't even want to remember every sin that I committed. See? And yet God wiped it all away. And you can't say that you don't have that because the Spirit of Christ lives in you. So he really expects the believer to forgive no matter what. See, the believers, Christians don't believe that. They're going to be surprised when they get to heaven and see folk like Hitler and they're going to be surprised when they see some of these gross manslayers and mutilators. They're going to be surprised because they just can't believe God has that kind of heart, that if you call upon his name, he will save you and wash you and cleanse you and renew you and rejuvenate your spirit and make you a brand new person. Do you see? And you see, because we cut ourselves short in believing like that, we don't go to the extent that we need to go to love our fellow man. And that's why we don't witness like we should. We don't go so far as to love like God loves. See, we try to do it in a religious manner to satisfy the religious spirit that's in us. And we walk away from it and say, well, I did the best I could, you know, shaking the dust off my feet. Well, there's a whole lot more dust out there for you to get on your feet. You hadn't walked through all of the dust yet. Oh, my goodness. Well, let me move on. He said that he was anointed, the anointed one, the Messiah, to do what? To send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. Now, if you want to get some help in how much compassion you need to have to reach the lost, just do a study on oppression. Yeah. We've got it so mixed up today, and I know a lot of folk are not going to like when I say this, but we've got it so mixed up today that our evangelists stay within the walls of the church to evangelize.
That's right.
Huh? Who's in here called to be an evangelist? Nobody's raising their hands. No. No. No one wants to claim their ministry calling. Huh? Well, he told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, and Timothy was a pastor.
Yes, right.
Huh? You see, to evangelize means to reach out to those that don't know the Lord. Now, I know there are a lot of folk in the church, so-called, that don't know him. And maybe there's so many that evangelists have seen the need there first, and maybe they're going to go outside of there after a while. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're going to go out sooner or later. Amen. Billy Graham gave us a good example. He went to the world.
Amen.
And his heart is still to the world.
Right.
Amen. You see. So do a study in oppression, and that'll help you in your compassion. It may develop compassion in you for the lost because they are suffering under oppression. 4 points, four power points every Christian should enjoy. You see, in order for us to enjoy what deliverance is all about, we have to have the gospel ministered to us to show us I have a responsibility in the revelation of deliverance. I have a responsibility. This Christ lives in me. His anointing that he was anointed with as Messiah lives in me. And I am compelled by that anointing to reach out to the lost. They are under oppression. Who are they? They're downtrodden. They're bruised. They're crushed. They're broken down by calamity. Now, you can't expect when you reach out to those that are in that position, you can't expect that they're going to talk back to you the way you talk to them. Right? They're going to use superlatives that you don't like.
That's exactly right.
Matter of fact, they're not super at all to you. But they're going to use words, phrases. They're going to speak out of their hearts what they believe. Now, why do we allow that to hinder us? Why do we allow that to crush us in our efforts to reach the lost? Why does that deter us? Why does that discourage us in our outreach? That's all the downtrodden, those that are under the oppression of Satan, that's all they have in their vocabulary. That's all they have in their hearts because they're bound.
Amen.
They need to be delivered. Do you have confidence in the gospel? You got to keep saying the same thing. You keep coming back with the truth of the word of God no matter what is said to you. No matter what action, no matter what they do, you keep coming back with the word. The word of God will accomplish what it's sent to do. And it will not return to God void. It will accomplish that thing whereunto he sent it. Amen? Now you got to really believe that. You have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're going to rely on what you're feeling. What they say will insult you. Amen. It can even hurt you if you allow it, right? It can bring you to embarrassment. Come on now. Some of you are still capable of blushing. It can cause you to blush. There's all kinds of things emotionally that an unbeliever, through his action and through his words, can cause you to go through. But Jesus didn't allow any of that to deter him. He didn't allow any of that to stop him in his pursuit to obey God and to bring about what God ordained for him to bring.
Amen.
That's why you've got to begin at home.
Right.
You have to begin at home. There are people in the body of Christ that are claiming to be ministers and their home is a wreck. I said their home is a wreck. There's no unity.
Right.
There's no co-joining of husband and wife and kids. There's no central point of unity at all. There's confusion.
Right.
And yet they're purporting to be a minister. What are you going to give to people except what you have? Why do you think you can give them anything other than what you have?
Amen.
Doesn't work that way. At some point, somebody's going to call you to the carpet. You're going to begin to tell them something. They're going to say, well, I've looked at you and your spouse and you're not getting along. Why do you try? What gives you the audacity to come in here and talk to me about my family life when your life is not what it should be? I know all about what's going on in your life. You think I don't know, but I know what's happening in your family. You don't want to be called on the carpet like that. You see, that's why the Bible says, let every workman of God study to show himself approved, that he may not be a workman that needed to be ashamed. You study the instruction that God gives you, and it will cause you to walk in the approval of the Lord in your family. And that won't be anything that anybody will be able to bring out against you and your loved ones in your family. See, the devil works in this manner. See, the devil comes with accusations to make you feel guilty so that you won't believe when you pray so that you might receive. Mark 11:24. Right? And he does the same thing to keep you from ministering the word, from reaching out to people. And anytime you come to a place where you're settled and you believe you're okay, when things are not right with you, then your sight needs to be recovered. You've lost your sight. You've lost it. You're not okay. Things are not as good as they need to be. And why can you believe? How in the world can you bring yourself to believe that it'll work for somebody else when you can't get it to work for you? Help me, somebody. Why? Why do we think we're such world-renowned ministries and we can't get it to work at home? International, world-renowned church of the living God. I forgot who it was, but there was either someone like Kenneth Hagin, was one of these ministers, or it might have been Keith Moore. I don't remember. I've listened to so many that, and he was saying that some lady came up and said that she was an apostle of the Lord. And the minister began to ask, where is your ministry? Where is your location? Where are you? Well, I don't have a place of ministry. You have a congregation. I don't have a congregation. What do you mean you are an apostle then? Well, I don't know. This prophet prophesied that over me. And so he said that's what I'm and what I am. Right? This is the attitude that's in the body of Christ. We want to take on titles, ministries, and anointings. But for some reason, we don't use it. It's not working in our own personal lives. There's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that picture. Our sight needs to be recovered. That's a part of our deliverance. Now, I'm talking about things you should enjoy so you can smile at me every once in a while. These are things. I know it might sound a little tough right now, but if you receive it, it'll bring you joy. If you receive it, it'll bring you to joy, right? There's some circumstances that come along with separation. There's some circumstances that come with divorce that it would be better for you to put up with that old fool than for you to go through it. And why would a woman look at her husband when you say old fool when she could be the old fool? I'm just have to be blatant and just say it like it is. You could be the one that's the old fool, dear. Hallelujah. Let's let the word fall where it may. Amen. For some reason or another, that just sounded like a man, didn't it? My God. All right, let's move on. Recovery of sight to the blind. To send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity. Calamity comes from the devil. Amen. God does not know anything about calamity as far as his people is concerned. That's not in his repertoire of blessing for us. And then he said in verse 19, he said that he came to proclaim the accepted year of the Lord. In other words, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Now, a lot of believers, I'd say probably 3/4 of believers in the world, are under the impression that that only happens in heaven, where the free favors and blessings of God abound. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. What about today? Amen. What about right now? My Bible tells me that God is a now God. He said, Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, on earth, on earth. When? At the end of the millennium? After the rapture? After the tribulation?
No.
You understand what I'm saying? We've got folk in the body of Christ that are projecting everything that's good to the future. When God wants to pour it out on you right now.
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks, You know, I guess the thing about this that makes it difficult for most believers is that it takes living right to enjoy it. It means we have to live right. We've got to live righteously. We have to live holy lives. It's difficult for some believers to keep their pants on. It's difficult for some religious believers to keep their dresses pulled down. To stay in a modest manner and present themselves in a modest manner. It's amazing. It's just in the body of Christ so bad that we want to show flesh.
Amen.
We want to reveal what we look like. We got a revelation that it won't be that way long. Something's going to pop. Something's going to fall. Show it now. Show it now. We need deliverance. We need deliverance.
Amen.
My God, help us, Jesus. This is the day right now when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Right now. See, you have to understand, if we don't get caught up in the deliverance that God gives so that we can enjoy this, where we really live holy and live out our Christian lives that we should, there isn't anything left but us, except for us to go crazy. That's all that's left is madness. See? Crazy stuff. Crazy beliefs. Hey, how about this? Well, doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere thus and so and thus and so? Well, I feel like that's the way it's supposed to be. How can you say what you believe is supposed to be when you can't even tell me where the scripture is? Doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere? If you find out where the scripture is and quote it like it's really being said, it will change your opinion. Because you don't have it right. Why are we making excuses to live a defeated life? Why are we making excuses to live in poverty? I'm telling you, if you would just let down your guard and accept what God has for you, it wouldn't take you so long to get anything from God.
Amen.
If you just allow God to have his way, it wouldn't take you so long to work things out. God is going to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong. Right? In behalf of those whose what? Blameless, his mind's what stayed on him and all that stuff, right? How do you keep your mind and your heart on God blameless? You keep following those instructions. Come on, a spouse comes up to you and says something that just makes you angry. What do? You tell him what you feel and how you feel about it. You don't have no right to talk to me that way, you nasty rascal. I've been living with you all this time and helping you to take care of things. And you got the audacity to talk like, I'll tell you one thing, boy, you better shut up. Girl, you better sit down. I'm the head of this house. Now, that's our first inclination. That is before we are delivered. But once I'm delivered, even though that inclination might come, I immediately look to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? And what is he going to say? See, some of you know what he's going to say. That's why you won't ask it. He's going to say, lay your life down and love that person. Isn't he? As Christ loved the church, sir. He's going to say to that woman, you love and honor your husband like Sarai honored Abraham, even to the point of calling him Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now that's tough for a woman. Yeah, it does. It'll help you get rid of some pride. I mean, if I was a woman, I'd be like this. If I'm going to call that Negro a Lord, I'm going to pray that that boy walk right with God. He gonna have to be doing it right. Yes, sir. That's one black man right there that's gonna be walking like a prophet. Glory to God. I'll obey you, Lord, but I'm going to pray some fireball prayers for that boy. He will come home complaining about it. I ain't got dinner ready. It's going to be because I'm interceding for him. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I would do. Yes, because I've got to obey the word of the Lord. I've got to walk in that manner and honor him that way. So I got to ensure that some things are going to change. So that's what I must do. If I've got to lay down my life for my wife like Christ loved the church, there's some stuff I've got to do. That's some prayers and some confessions I've got to make.
Amen.
I got to make sure that she's walking right, talking right, living right. Yeah, I got a responsibility to do that.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, don't just let things go. Let things be as they are when God has called us to a higher level. So whatever it takes. I said whatever it takes. Fasting and prayer. I'm telling you, when spouses have disagreement, why am I on marriage so much tonight? When spouses have disagreement, the last thing in the world they practice is fasting and prayer. You don't cook for me, I'll go to McDonald's, glory to God. Yeah, I know where to get something to eat. I can come home full, Jack. Stomach bulge, and I'll show you. You ain't got to do nothing for me. Church's fried chicken right around the corner. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? Fasting and prayer will change things. You have to lay your life down. Maybe you are right, but you still have to lay your life down. Maybe she is or he is the one that's wrong, but you still have to lay your life down. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He didn't have, there wasn't nothing wrong with him. There wasn't anything wrong with God, nothing wrong with Jesus, and yet he's laying his life down for everybody that is wrong.
Amen.
Now that's Christianity.
Amen.
Are you getting any deliverance tonight? This is things that we are to enjoy.
Amen.
I mean, enjoy it. Walk in it. Glory to God. Reach out and get you some deliverance. Amen. Let it smack you right in the face. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, Jesus, what he said, and then the Bible says he rolled the book up and just sat down. He rolled that thing up and just sit down. Now y'all can just do whatever you want to do. This is the way it is. And they got so mad, they drove him out of the hill to the edge of the hill to throw him off. And he just walked right through them. He didn't slide off the hill, scoot down the hill because all the people stand. He walked right through the difficulty and obeyed God anyway. I mean, the man's ministry started out with everybody trying to kick him out of church. Dear God, what a way to start your ministry. The Baptists got a hold of it and they said, we're not going to do it like that. What we're going to do is have a trial sermon. Amen. We're going to let you try a sermon. And they ain't never rejected nobody. I don't care if you tried it or whether you still got ordained. So you see, when you face these difficulties in your life because you have been delivered to the point that you have been delivered, you can do something about it. I said you can do something about it. You can step out by faith in what you know to be the truth of God and start to enjoy the benefit of God's free favors that are profusely abounding right now and ready in your life. The windows of heaven are positioned specifically over Christians. You understand what I'm saying? It is so much so that everywhere you go, there's a window over you. I said everywhere you go. There's a window of heaven over you everywhere you go. That's why he could say to the prophets, wherever you put your feet, you can take dominion. Because all of heaven is open above you, and there's not a devil in hell, Joshua, that'll be able to stand before you. My Lord God. What did he tell him to do, though? He said, meditate day and night in my word. You got to meditate day and night in your instructions. You have to meditate in it. Every time your emotions tell you, slap her! Amen. You have got to go to meditating. I think somebody's going to get some humility in here tonight, too, and not just get delivered. You have to go to meditating. You got to meditate in your instructions. I know how difficult it is to keep your mouth shut when somebody just touched your last nerve. It's difficult to keep your mouth shut and not say what you want to say. But when you come to realize that your words are creative, that you are releasing certain things, you can make your life more difficult by spouting out what your emotions want you to say, or you can make your life more of a blessing by saying what thus saith the Lord has given you to say.
Amen.
See, you can actually say, Lord, what do you want me to say to my wife every time she starts acting like that? Because she's going to do it again. She's going to do it again. I know the woman. I've been with her a long time. She's going to do it again. She might have a season when she's not, but she's always come back. What do you want me to say? See, the thing that hurts a man is a man thinks that finally she's all right, and then she comes back and just crushes us, man. She just crushes us. Crushing. Just crushing. Oh, and the emotions of a man, oh, it puts his fire out. Yeah, it crushes it. I mean, let me just be honest. Nobody knows how to hurt a man like a woman.
That's the truth.
You know it's true. Nobody knows how to hurt a man like a woman. Why do you think the devil used Delilah with Samson? Huh? She knew exactly how to touch the right place in his life to get him to fail. And she was doing it all for the wrong reasons. To prosper and to save her family from being burned with fire. She's getting something out of it. She didn't love him.
No.
See? Why do you think Ahab was such an evil man? It's because he had an evil woman.
Right.
He married an evil woman. A Jezebel. See? You got to understand that what you say as women is critical. How you act is critical. It can make or break a man. And men, you just have to be strong despite the fact that, you know, God made you that way. Even Adam fell prey to Eve in the very beginning. He was a choice, perfect man in the beginning. Nobody like him ever been again until Jesus came. Nobody. And yet his wife talked him out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. And he was a brilliant man. Nobody had genius like he did. Solomon just had a little nibbleful compared to what Adam had. Just a nibbleful. So you see, your role is very critical. My role is very critical. And no wonder, because the Bible says, wherever two of you agree is touching anything that you pray for, you shall have it. He's talking about the joining of two people in agreement in prayer. He's talking about marriage there. He's talking about marriage, and then he's talking about your agreement with him, and then your agreement can be with someone else in prayer. If you don't come out of belief, I won't come out of belief. If you don't come out of faith, see, that's the kind of agreement you got to have. If you don't come, I'm not coming out of faith or agreement with you, brother. You see, that's the kind of, and then like Keith Moore's church does, have a faith buddy. Have somebody in your life, you know, if you're not married, that you can call, that'll talk to you and build you up in the things of God, that won't agree with the way you feel when you're down. And a matter of fact, don't look for somebody to agree with the way you feel when you're down. Look for somebody that'll just blast that thing off of you without you, even without you having to tell them. They're just wise enough to know what to say. Now, if you're not running around with somebody like that, you got the wrong friend. I said you got the wrong friend. That's not a faith buddy. You're not going to get the deliverance you need by walking around with somebody that's petting you. Empathizing with how you feel. You're not going to get the kind of deliverance you need. See, your sight needs to be recovered so you can see. Hallelujah. Do you believe you can enjoy this? I believe you can have this. You can enjoy this kind of thing. Well, let's see if we can go one more place, and we'll set ourselves up for the next time that we come together. Go with me to Acts 10. Let's go to Acts 10 for our last few moments. My. You know, whatever area in life that I have a need, do you realize that I can go to the scripture and just do a study on it and teach myself in the victory?
Amen.
I mean, I can literally go to the scripture in a particular area where I'm having some problems, and I can begin to look at that as though I'm the pastor and I'm going to teach on this so that my people can walk in victory, and I can start teaching myself as though I'm teaching you and get the victory myself.
Amen.
See? That's more powerful than a prayer line. That's more powerful than just I got to have somebody to talk to. Nobody understands what I'm going through. And I just need some, Lord, give me somebody to talk to. And the answer from heaven is, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I not only talk to you, I'll give you scriptures. I'll lead you to places in my word. Hallelujah. Where did I say go? Acts chapter 10. Well, he said in Acts chapter 10, this scripture agrees with what we just read out of Luke 4:18, verse 38. It says how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Now watch this. Again, you got two scriptures that validate that Jesus had to be anointed. And then you bring in the fact that he consecrated Jesus with the Holy Spirit. See? You and I have been consecrated as we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Consecration has to do with sanctifying one to God's purpose, pointing one in another direction. Everyone who was called of God that you can find in the scripture had to let go, turn away from, release something to obey God. So same for you and I. You have to let go of your opinion, your feelings, your emotions to do what God says for you to do. You have to let go of your excuses. You thought I was going to say your job. No, if you don't work, you don't eat. No, there's other things that you need to let go of. You let go of these things, what's happening? You're being prepared for God's use. You're not fit for ministry if you haven't gotten over yourself. Let me say that again. I had to clear my throat a little bit. Excuse me. What I said was, in case you didn't hear me, you are not fit for the gospel ministry if you haven't gotten over yourself yet. And self involves all of those sense-driven, motivated, emotional aspects of your soul.
Yes, sir.
Your humanity.
Sir.
That has to be overcome.
Sir.
That's why he said many are called, but few are chosen or sent. Right? See, that part of being chosen and sent comes as you are doing something about your soul. That doesn't mean you're going to get it all done before you actually get on the field. But God needs to see that you're actively working to walk in the deliverance that he's given you, what he's made available to you. So he didn't know what to do good and do it not to him, it is sin. You understand? That's what the scripture said. You can't leave yourself off and work on everybody else. That doesn't work that way. Beware of always seeing something wrong with somebody else. Beware. That's a trap. That's a trap. You're so spiritual. You should see everything that people are going through. And you got a word for them. And God said everything that you're saying. Beware. The Lord said to me to tell you, beware. Beware. Amen. Somebody needs some deliverance. He anointed him, consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and he did it with strength. He did it with strength. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. You can say, I have God's ability.
I have God's power.
It's at work in me. And that's not just a fanciful saying. That's the truth, because those are all attributes of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. He is the power source of God. The dunamis of God. Amen. So he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him. Is God with you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm telling you, you know, gospel ministry has got to involve healing the sick and casting out of devils.
Right.
Gospel ministry has got to involve the healing of the sick and the casting out of devils.
Right.
Amen. This is something that happened under the old covenant as well as in the new. You're supposed to have a sense or a touch of the prophetic on your life, just like Elijah did when he went into a certain place. I guess it was Zarephath, and the widow there, God commanded her to take care of him. And he went in there, and she was gathering a few sticks. You know? And she had already made up in her mind what she was going to do. She had a little flour. You know, a little flour meant that she had enough to make a couple of two or three cakes. And this was going to be her last meal. And she had to have a few little sticks so she could make a fire in order to cook this stuff after she got it all made up. And God said to Elijah, I have prepared a widow to sustain you and take care of you. And this is what she had. This is what she had. So you see, now gospel ministry, it's not supposed to be identified by, I have all of this, you know, prosperity and all this wonderful stuff, and now I'm going into ministry and I'm going to do the work of God. He went to a place that was experiencing drought, famine. And God said, I prepared this woman in this town where they're experiencing drought and famine to take care of you. So he went to the little woman, recognizing what God had said. And no matter what came out of her mouth, he stuck with what God said.
Right.
He said, okay, I hear what you're saying, woman. Okay, I hear what you're saying. But go and do what you said you were going to do. But make me a little cake first thereof. He didn't try to minister to her and build her up in faith and tell her all of this stuff. He didn't even tell her what was going to happen after she obeyed him. He said, just go do it, because he trusted God. You got to trust God so much that it'll make no difference what comes out of your spouse's mouth, your children's mouth. It'll make no difference what comes out of the unbeliever's mouth that you're reaching out to. You got to obey God anyway. And you'll be sustained in what God has called you to do. You'll be able to accomplish what God has called you to do. Circumstances don't rule you. Happens, chance, circumstance, difficulty, hard times, hard head. That does not dictate who you are and what you can do. It's the word of God that establishes you and should be driving you to his purpose. So she went and fixed the little cake, brought it to the man of God, watched him eat it, made sure he didn't want no more so she could go over and eat hers with her son. I know that's not in the scripture. But what would you have done? I think I would have watched him and made sure he didn't ask for that. You just said one piece now. This is all I got left. That's the kind of unbelief she had. And he went ahead and he began to prophesy to her. And guess what? Every time she went there to get some meal and whatever she needed to cook that thing, she had enough to do it until they got to the end of that problem. Amen. God has enough for you to get you all the way through until you get to the very end of your difficulty. And you'll come out with flying colors on the other side. Hallelujah. Now, the devil will try to disguise a problem for you and make it look like it is immovable, so high you can't get over it, so wide that you can't get around it. Amen? He will try to do that. And it's the word of the Lord that you should put in your mouth. It's the word of the Lord that you should meditate in your mind day and night, despite what the devil does and despite what the devil says, and you will see your victory. I said, you will see your victory. I said, I've been delivered. I have been delivered. I can follow the Lord because I have been delivered. Hallelujah. With the delivered people of God, please say praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. We've been delivered. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.